much. It is a great joyful feast day that we celebrate today. The vestment that I wear today is white with blue in honor of the Blessed Mother. There are beautiful flowers in front of the altar in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And today, for all of you, it is all the more a happy day because today officially is a twofer. August 15th is a holy day of obligation that rests on another holy day of obligation. Today is the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Every Sunday is a holy day of obligation. And so today, the fact that August 15th is on a Sunday, is a win-win for you. On this glorious feast of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, I'd like to speak specifically today on the topic of hope. As a priest who has the blessing of hearing a lot of confessions, every week I hear hours of confessions. There are 12 hours of confession being offered this upcoming Friday. As I hear confessions, I hear sin, but you also hear people's hearts. And I will tell you that I believe in our world, many people are living without hope. There seems to be a spirit of hopelessness in our world. Whether it be because what is happening in our world politically, with government and nations, whether it be tensions of hate, whether it be what's happening economically and financially, in the realm of employment, whether it be what's happening with sickness, with COVID-19, I believe more and more that people are choosing to live without hope. Today's feast day, the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary, is all about hope. That's what it's all about. At the end of Mary's earthly life, she was taken up body and soul in heaven. This is all about hope. When we live with hope, we keep our end in mind. When we live with hope, we keep our end in mind. So let's start with our beginning. I want you to, right now, turn your head to the left and the right and look to the person to your left and right. Just look to the left, look to the right. Okay, now I want you to do that again, but I want you to talk to the person to your left and right. I want you to tell them, I want you to say, you are good. Go. Okay, now we're going to do that again because a few people are choosing not to participate. So one more time, turn to the left and right, tell the people to your left and right that you're good. Okay, good. Doesn't it kind of fill you with joy? And here's the reason why. Open up your Bibles. First book of the Bible is the book of Genesis. God creates the world. How many days does it take God to create the world and all of creation? How many days? No, six. What does he do on the seventh? Thank you. Why are you at Mass today? Because today is what? Today is the seventh day. You're resting on Sunday because it's the Lord's day. 6 days, God created the world. What is the culmination of his creation? Mankind. He creates the earth, the stars, the wind, the moon, the trees, the fish, the antelope, the rhinoceroses. But then he creates us. After God creates all of his majesty, all of his glory in creation, the book of Genesis then says this: God looked at all that he created, and he said that it was good. God said that it was what? That it was good. The first words of God spoken are, it is good to you and to me. Right after we're created, God says it. The reality is that we don't believe it. We would put psychologists out of business if you believe that you are good. Psychologists are in business because at some point, a mother, a father, a coach, a teacher, a neighbor, a friend, a co-worker, convinced you and a whole lot of other people that they're not good. But you are good. If you look at the first sin of Adam and Eve, there was a serpent. In today's first reading from the book of Revelation, that serpent has grown, has now become a dragon, a beast. That tiny little serpent in the book of Genesis slithered in. And what did that serpent convince of the woman? She wasn't good enough. That what she had wasn't good enough. That there is something else that she needed to have, that God was holding out, that God didn't believe that she was good, because if God believed that she was good, he would have given her what was good, but he didn't. The prince of lies, the prince of demons, Beelzebul, Satan, convinced the woman that she was not good and she needed to grasp after something else, and in grasping she'll find her goodness. And in doing so, we have followed right in their footsteps. Believing we're not good, grasping after the pleasures of this world, hoping that they will somehow satisfy us, believing somehow that food, that alcohol, that drink, that lust, that power, that money, that possessions will somehow make us good. Because in our core, we don't believe it. And it is a lie of the devil. You are good. God made you good. God loves you. And God has a plan for you. Turn to the person to your left and right and tell them they're good. Hope. For those of you who are taking notes, hopelessness is living in the hurt and the pain of the present while forgetting our glorious future. Hopelessness is living in the hurt and the pain of the present while forgetting our glorious future. Many people live in hopelessness. And they do so because they live in the present. Let's be honest. It's not a lie. There is a lot of hurt and pain in our lives. Death of a loved one. Death of a child. Death of a spouse. Cancer. Sickness. Disease. Illness. Financial distress. Financial ruin. Your own addictions, your husband's addictions, your wife's addictions, abuse, neglect. There is pain and there is hurt, but we have a glorious future. Our pain and our hurt is not who we are, and our pain and our hurt is not what you were made for. And your pain and your hurt is not the end that God has for you. He has something so much more. This feast today of the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary reminds us of our end. That the lie that we are not good is a lie. And that God has a glorious future for us that's beyond all imagining. How many apostles were there? There are 12 apostles. One of them committed suicide. Then there were 11. Judas was replaced by Matthias. Of the 11 remaining apostles of the original 12, how many of them died as martyrs? 10. John, the beloved disciple, did not die as a martyr. However, he was boiled in a cauldron of oil and survived. Now, we in southeastern Indiana know more than probably anybody else what a cauldron of boiling oil looks like. Add some flour, some salt and pepper, and some chicken. It's one of the most beautiful things we've ever seen in our whole entire lives. How on earth John, the beloved disciple, was boiled in a cauldron of oil and somehow survived, I have no idea, but he did. Have you ever asked the question of why did these 11 men also add to that list Matthias and then St. Paul, who called himself apostle? Why did all of these men die as martyrs? Every single one of them. Now, at first thought, I might be like, well, I mean, come on, Father. Like, they knew Jesus. They encountered the resurrected Lord. They were in the tomb. I do believe that all of these men, by the way, stood in the empty tomb. I believe every single one of them saw the burial cloths that we now refer to as the Shroud of Turin. But I don't believe that was enough. I'll be honest, I don't believe that was enough. Because this is what my mind would have thought. Sure, empty tomb, totally get it. Empty tomb, Jesus rose from the dead, I get it. But then I would have thought this. But he's God. He walked on water. He multiplied loaves and fishes. He healed people. He made the lame walk. He gave sight to the blind. He made the mute speak. He made the dead rise in Lazarus. But he's God. So sure, he can rise from the dead. But what does that have to do with me and my brokenness, my hurt, my pain, my addictions, my struggles? What does that have to do with me, a mortal creature? I'm not God. And then comes the assumption. What is the assumption? The assumption is at the end of Mary's earthly life, she was taken up body and soul into heaven. If you read any of the traditions, if you look at the sacred art of the church, who is always present at Mary's assumption? The apostles, who are looking up as the Blessed Virgin Mary is taken up body and soul into heaven. The assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary gives us hope that we really do have a glorious end, a glorious resurrection that is made for creatures, that's made for the created, that's made for human beings, and that God who loves us, that God created us good, wants us to be with him forever. I believe that when those apostles saw the Blessed Virgin Mary assumed body and soul into heaven, that they realized that this was real for them, not just Jesus. They saw the resurrection applied in a powerful way, and I believe that it gave them the fire of the Holy Spirit to go out and preach and teach and tell others to not live in hopelessness, in the hurt and pain of their present, but to realize that God had a glorious future for them, to be with him forever in the glories of heaven. Mary is our model. Mary is the pattern. Mary is our guide. And where she is, we want to be. If today was the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time, we would be reading as we have been through John chapter 6. And I believe that our readings in John chapter 6 today actually speak very clearly about Mary's assumption into heaven. This is what we would have heard proclaimed if it was the 20th Sunday of Ordinary Time. Amen, amen, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you do not have life within you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day. What do we celebrate today? The Assumption of Mary. What is the Assumption of Mary? The fact that on Mary's last day of her life, she was raised up. What is the Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary? The application of John chapter 6 in the life of our mother. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. Did Mary eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood? You better believe that she did. This crucifix beautifully carved behind this altar. Go to John chapter 19. When Jesus is hanging on the cross, he looks down at his mother and he says, "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." Who is that son? It is John, the beloved disciple. It is the first priest. "Woman, behold your son. Son, behold your mother." And then the scripture passage continues and says this: "From that hour on, he took her into his home." Where did the Christians celebrate the first masses? In their homes. Mary received Holy Communion. She received the body, blood, soul, and divinity of her son, Jesus Christ, from John, the beloved disciple. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise them on the last day." We know that Mary did not just receive Holy Communion from John, the beloved disciple. Mary was the first to ever make a Holy Communion. For an angel came to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and Mary said, "Let it be done to me." And the first Holy Communion on this earth took place in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And every woman who has become a mother in this church knows that your child's blood is your blood. And Mary's Holy Communion, the flesh and blood of her son that lived within her. "Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him on the last day." Mary was assumed body and soul into heaven to give us hope, to realize that our present hurt and pain is not our end, but that God has a glorious plan for every single one of us. We were not made for this world. We were not made for pleasure. We were not made for anything less than the glories of God. Every single person in this church this morning wants to go to heaven. That's why you're here. What is heaven, my brothers and sisters? It is eternal communion with God. And it is eternal communion with the saints. Those who have gone before us, and those who sit to your left and your right now, that believe the hurt and the pain of this present life is not their end. It's the saints who have gone before us, who have eaten the flesh of the Son of Man and drank his blood. The glories of heaven is eternal communion with God and eternal communion with the saints in heaven. And today, my brothers and sisters, we are called to have great hope because this world is not our end. Your struggles are not your end. God has a plan for us, and it has been lived out in the Blessed Virgin Mary. She is the first to receive, but she is not the last. For Christ gave us a promise. "For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him." I don't know what pain is in your heart this morning. I don't know what hurt is in your heart this morning, but I know that it's there. But that is not your end. There is a glorious end for you in heaven that God offers you and gives you. And he gives it to you in every single Mass. On our darkest of days, heaven is as close as the next Mass. Heaven is as close as the next Mass, where we eat his flesh and his blood, and we are in union with our brothers and sisters and their suffering, their hurt, and their pain, but believing that there is a glorious end that is not this world, but is in the world to come. The Assumption of the Blessed Virgin Mary is a great reminder to every single one of us that God is not done with us. My dear people, you are good. God made you good. He created you good. And he has a plan for you. Believe in that. Live that. Be the saints that he's calling you to be. And with Mary as our guide, may we live in the hurt and the pain of our present life. But may we do so with our eyes set on the glories of heaven. Amen.